Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Welcome, 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 Spirituality What? Family. We are back this week with part two of Dr. Ula's Spiritual Beings with ADHD and Autism episode. I'm thrilled to finish this out today. I learned a lot, had a lot of fun talking to Ula. Today we're going to get into the challenges and spiritual significance of these remarkable souls on this planet. We're going to talk a little bit about their unique relationship with ADHD and autism. We are going to talk a little bit about and dig into what it's like for these individuals to navigate our more linear, logical, and siloed world, and delve into the absolute integral role that they play in our overall collective spiritual awakening and growth on this planet. We're also going to talk a little bit about ascension flu and the science behind treating our physical and energetic bodies right, including embracing holistic food approaches and kind of approaches to well-being in this physical form. Thank you so much for joining today. Here we go. But it's really interesting because, and you said this before, like normal humans, like these humans are superhumans.
Yes.
These are people who came and were already there spiritually.
Yes.
They're just having a hard time communicating that.
Exactly. And that brings us to these indigo, crystal, and rainbow children that we've heard about.
Yes, let's dig into that now.
Yeah, so there have been these three waves of volunteers that paved the way for these newer children, the ADHD and autistics, which are the fourth wave. They're spiritually advanced children, all of them. And they're not really star children, some people call them that, or hybrids of aliens or galactic race. That's not right. They're souls like us. They come from higher selves, just like we do. Your higher self has sent you, if you have ADHD, and probably others like you, to shift our collective consciousness here right now. So these labels, the indigo, crystal, rainbow, they refer to the soul's frequency level and how their vehicle copes with the frequencies on Earth. The indigos came right after the world wars to be the agents of change. They are the spiritual warriors, system busters, and visionaries that bring new ideas and systems to us, you know, like Steve Jobs and people like that.
Okay.
The crystals came in the 1980s to bring more peace, love, unity, and healing. And the rainbows have been more recent, coming since 2000 as highly empathic and psychic children. They're pure love, pure givers. The problem with these pure types was that they had a hard time adjusting to certain locations on this earth because some places are more harmonious, easier to live in, and other places have a lot of conflict, wars, atrocities.
Absolutely.
So they couldn't cope with all this warring. Some left early through suicide or drugs. These are the hippie generations in the 60s, for instance. So that's why the new children are combinations of two or three types. They can slide across a range of frequencies, not just one level. So they're better able to cope with locations, no matter where they live or move to. So
are we here then saying that people that have ADHD or autism are also rainbow children? They just...
depending on the
levels of function in
depending on the era that you were born into. Okay,
sure. So young children now would
younger children now are coming in. Not all of them, but you will notice them immediately if they are of that type. So you asked about the autistics having a high half hybrid energy. So that's what we talked about a little bit. So what they are, that means that they have either half indigo, half crystal, or half rainbow energies in them. That's the inner technology they are born with.
The
other half is standard human. Why? Because their body is on the third level. But their soul, sentience, or consciousness operates at the fifth level or even higher. You know, some of them operate at eighth, ninth, or tenth levels, and that's where the soul actually funnels into the body, and that gives them pure connectivity. The soul is directly linked to the higher self or God, source. You know, they have cosmic consciousness. They're extremely advanced. And then the ADHD children are full hybrids of two or three types. So their body is also on the third level because we can see you and feel you and, you know, you're a physical person, but your soul is operating on the fourth level, the lower astral level. And of course, many of them struggle to be here because they have one foot in the physical and another in the semi-physical or spiritual physical level. And most people don't understand them at all. Some try to dumb down or turn off some of the higher functions by masking or mimicking or other ways to fit in with standard humans. And some, they try to numb themselves with drugs or alcohol to get out of the body, which makes them ungrounded and not present. The soul came here to be embodied on the third level with the standard humans, even if the soul operates at a higher level. So that was their goal to begin with.
They were like, I want the biggest challenge of all. Literally,
Kidding me, pilot on.
literally, they said, I want to be so advanced spiritually, but be stuck in this like ridiculous little, like so confined, you know, not flexible little body. Wow.
Yes, that's exactly right. The soul is very enthusiastic and ambitious.
Exactly. Like, it's the hardest place. We're gonna have the hardest, the one of the
Yes,
hardest experiences. Absolutely. Absolutely. So this perspective is, I mean, I'm gonna use the word cutting edge. It's pretty different from
It
what
is.
you see, you know, in mainstream both medicine and also like news and everything like that. And I feel like the way that it, you know, these types of children are approached in schools and all of that. So
Yes.
with this perspective of autistic and ADHD people being more spiritually connected and more in tune spiritually and energetically, both with themselves but also with everything else that's happening,
Yes.
how does this perspective change the way we should view people with these, I'm going to use air quotes. You can't see me, right? Because this is an audio podcast, but I'm using like air quotes of like disorder. Like, how should we, because of this explanation, how should we change the way that we view these people?
It's called educating teachers, doctors, parents, the kids themselves, everybody. That's what it takes, because we're totally misunderstanding their purpose here and what they're here, what they're like, what their world is like. You know, I should first say that ADHD and autism are really separate conditions. You have either one condition or the other. It's not half and half. But there may be up to 12% crossover. So you might have up to 88% ADHD and 12% autism, or vice versa. If you're at this borderline between the two, you know, the fourth and fifth. So that's, according to Guy Nader, that's possible. Who's really the first person to really explain these conditions in this energetic or from the soul's perspective. That's why we need to educate people left, right, and center. So, you know, for instance, many of them are said to have executive dysfunction with poor time management, working memory, whatever. These are all linear, logical processes that standard humans use. When you have ADHD or autism, you're connected at a higher level. You don't need to go through all these linear, logical processes.
You just
In fact, we are going from logic, we are using intuition now. That is the higher way to think. They're thinking in different terms altogether. And if somebody's connected at 8, 9, and 10, well, they already have, you know, they're God consciousness. You know, they have cosmic internet at their disposal. So they can get frustrated, depressed, and angry with the rest of us because they have to justify their beingness. They have to get a degree to qualify in some field to show standard humans that they know stuff.
even though they just know it because they're
Even
connected
though
and
they just
they
know it, they don't need equations to figure out the answer. The other thing I wanted to mention is that these people with autism, ADHD, they may have symptoms of what's called ascension flu. That's a spiritual sort of concept. That's where their body is trying to catch up with the soul that's operating at a higher level. I have a video about that on YouTube about physical, psychological, and spiritual symptoms. But
Yeah, let's
basically,
we'll link to that for sure
yeah,
in the
because
notes.
they may experience a lightness of the body or a feeling that their body is buzzing, vibrating, or tingling at times. Their body is trying to be at the same level as the soul, but it can't quite do it. But that's an ascension flu symptom that they have.
That's super interesting. So I'm gonna just take a really quick tangent. We're doing a couple episodes on psychedelics. And it's very interesting you talk about that, like sort of vibrating. So one of my categorical like symptoms or like things that I experience when I'm doing a psychedelic is like literally I feel like I'm like have the
Your
worst
vibe.
tremors. I feel like I have Parkinson's
Yes.
and I'm just shaking. And I like look at my husband and he's like, "You're not shaking." I'm like, literally, yes, I
You
am. I was
feel
like, I
it.
can't feel like I can hold anything because like everything is just vibrating like so
Yes, you're
much. That's so
yeah,
interesting.
that's ascension flow. That's your body trying to catch up with the soul, but it can't.
Interesting. Very interesting. So let's okay, so we've talked a little bit about what it looks like and sort of the energetic what it is energetic wise around somebody who has ADHD or autism. So now thinking about the collective whole a little bit, we said that these people are here are signing up for a challenge in this experience. Are people with ADHD and autism like here to help us somehow? Are they giving us something like even though we might not be understanding in current society, like what it is, but like, is there something there that we should be looking out for?
I wanted to touch on, we think of, I said that they have superhuman or
Yes,
superpowers. Let's
exactly.
talk about that just a little bit. So that's one thing they are showing us. These are not really superhuman powers because they're natural functions of all future humans. But we have very powerful inner technology built into us, things like telepathy, empathic
Yes,
communication,
exactly.
intuitive intelligence, just knowing things, knowingness, and all the clairs, clairvoyance. Clairaudience, intuitive seeing, hearing, feeling, touching, and more. So these are all natural higher functions that autistics and ADHDers will probably have, one or more. It doesn't, everybody's different. And these functions actually outperform any outer technology, AI or robotics that we can create in the physical world. So all this fear about what these AI and whatever will do to our society are kind of misplaced because those are just transitional tools that we will use in the interim as we continue to evolve and get full access to this inner technology, which is far superior to any external technology.
Gotcha. And the worry there comes from the not being tapped into it yet and not having the full
Exactly. How
understanding.
many tech CEOs are actually aware of a soul or
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
spiritual
Yeah,
concepts? Not
exactly.
many. Or they want us not to think in those terms. They want us to
Potentially.
get brain chips so Elon Musk can
Yes.
control the thoughts of
Yeah,
everybody.
exactly.
No,
I'm like Black
that's a
Mirror has a bunch of episodes about, yeah, like little pods installed in your neck and all kinds of things.
Exactly. That's a distraction. That's to distract us from our inner technology that we already have. It's built into us. So you were asking about what are they here to teach us? Well, they're here to help humanity, to bring us out of wars and materialism and greed and corruption and competition and selfishness. Those are not concepts that they as subscribe to. This is all the nonsense we see in the world, in the physical world, in the 3D game. So they're really here to teach us a new way of being human, a different way to incarnate with a higher operating system, which is designed to connect with others, not be all separate from each other. So this means that they should be put together at school and work because they can communicate with each other on
Oh,
many levels,
interesting.
just as you said. And they're really serving us just by being here. Their higher frequency soul affects those around them. And they also triangulate with others like them. So the people in the areas in between are also uplifted a little bit. So they serve us in so many ways. And their numbers will increase in the coming years because we need more people like them to help the rest of humanity ascend and evolve out of this physical version of Earth. So it tends to run in families. Both ADHD and autism can be seen in families because these souls want to incarnate around others with the condition
who
have learned ways to cope and manage their lives.
Who can understand them better.
And communicate with them on levels that others might not.
So what are, from your scientific and energetic and spiritual connection, what are some of those coping mechanisms that people have for ADHD and autism? And
I've researched the internet a little, and there's a lot of there's more and more. I did the videos a few years ago, and there was some information, but
now which we'll link to those too in the notes for sure.
Ton of information about these things now, and you know, Instagram has sites, ADHD doers, with a bundle of information. It's very helpful, ways to cope, and ADHD understood is another one. Autism sketches gave me a whole new, you know, perspective into the world of an autistic person. And some people do stimming, which is like self-stimulation or self-soothing by, you know, tapping a pen, pulling your hair, playing the same song over and over. I thought, well, doesn't everybody do that?
I was like, wait a hot second. I definitely play the same song over and over, like a lot. Exactly. I get like obsessed with one song. Usually it's when I'm driving. And I just literally, I'll go on like a 30-minute drive and I'll just play the same song.
Exactly. So I thought, okay, what's wrong with that?
I'm like, that sounds awesome.
So the idea is to figure out the triggers, whether it's sensitivity to light, noise, smells, food textures, touch, scratchy clothing, tags, whatever. You can fix those things with, you know, sunglasses, noise cancelling headphones, comfy clothing, and whatnot. But the most important thing from my perspective is to take care of the body, because that's like tuning up the car. What fuel are you putting in? Junk food or whole foods? Yeah, feed the brain what it needs, which is proteins, ketones, omega-3 fatty acids and things. Some people have a problem with methylation genes that affect their neurotransmitter production. And, you know, that's something to look at just so you're aware of it, and you can take supplements specific for that.
I'm like, how do we figure that out? I'm like, what does that mean?
You go to your doctor and ask them for a screen for these things. And the other thing to fix is your gut microbiome. If you have food sensitivities or chronic inflammation anywhere, that's important for anyone, but especially people that have, you know, who are mentally revved up, you know? So, because their body is on the third level and their soul is on the higher level, the body runs faster. It is like revving a car, you know? They actually go through nutrients faster. They may need to supplement with basic vitamins and minerals, like magnesium especially. I notice that's a very important one to have. And our soils and foods are deficient in these things. So this is to optimize your brain metabolism at the cellular level, especially the mitochondria or energy powerhouses inside every cell. And there's a very interesting book that came out by Chris Palmer, a psychiatrist with, you know, two decades of experience. And he said that mental disorders are really metabolic disorders of the brain caused by mitochondrial dysfunction. And he explained that that's why there's so much overlap in symptoms for mental disorders, that many people are diagnosed with more than one condition, along with diabetes or obesity, which is the same metabolic disease in other organ systems. So, and he has found that many of these conditions actually respond well to ketogenic diets or fasting that promotes ketone production. The ketone is a fuel for the brain, and the brain and the mitochondria love ketones because it's a very clean burning fuel. It's instant and it's preferred over glucose. So He says what you eat affects what you think and what mental state you will have.
Oh my God.
And this is kind of this is a real breakthrough in treating mental disorders. If you change your lifestyle, you may prevent other chronic diseases as well. Cancer, dementia, heart disease. You know, this is so obvious, but not done so often for people with any depression, anxiety, any mental health condition.
Well, and it's really interesting because I've had, due to diet, I've had some very strange symptoms since I was about 10.
Yes.
And I had a doctor last year in May tell me to go gluten-free.
Yes.
And I was like, at this point, like I'm almost 40. I was like, I might as well try it. I've had these symptoms forever. No doctor has ever been able to figure it out.
Yes.
And within 2 weeks, my symptoms went away. And one of my symptoms was gluten dreams. I don't know how else to describe it, but stress, anxiety induced dreams where I would wake up besides the fatigue and some of the other random gluten intolerance symptoms, like these dreams. And now when I accidentally have gluten, I literally call them a gluten dream. And sometimes it includes eating gluten in the dream. It doesn't always. Yes. Most of the time it's like being late for a flight or trying to make a train and like the whole process of like just the stress and the anxiety and all of that around that. And I'm like, I couldn't be more aligned with what you're saying. Like what you eat absolutely impacts everything. Mentally.
Yes. And especially in the US where they use Roundup on every
Monsanto seeds, all of the GMO and
that's for a problem in Europe because that's banned here, but still, all the crops have that, all the grains have that.
Yeah.
But the other thing to do is you realize is that you need regular exercise to get more blood flow to the brain, movement to discharge the extra energy from your body. Yeah. You need enough sleep. At least 7-8 hours if you can, and not to eat 3 hours before going to bed. Why? Because your brain has this function that we just learned about recently. It's a brain wash. It happens at night. It cleans up all the toxic waste and misfolded proteins like amyloid, in Alzheimer's at night. And this only happens in the fasted state. So you can't really eat 3 hours before going to bed. It doesn't happen if you're still digesting your dinner.
Yeah, that's that aligns with Ayurvedic thinking as well, which is like you shouldn't eat. I always wonder, and actually you're in Spain. Like, let's talk about that for 2 seconds. Don't they eat dinner at like 10:30 at night there?
They do. Very. We my husband and I do intermittent fasting. We eat in a window only at lunch, basically.
Okay,
don't eat the rest. So we're always fasted going to bed.
But I was like, do you just eat at 10:30 at night and then you just go to bed right after that? Like,
yeah, no, that's what they would do.
Oh my gosh.
They have a light dinner. They eat their main meal in the afternoon.
I see. Okay.
So it's a light thing, but still it's too late. Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing you may know that you have to unplug from technology daily. Your phones, all those gadgets have to go away because they entrain you actually to unnatural mechanical frequencies instead of the natural pulse of the earth.
Yes.
So you need to go outside, walk barefoot, ground yourself, drink lots of water, move the energies in and out of the body. The other thing you can do, which is very simple, is a chakra opening exercise. This is something taught by Guy Needler to us. You open each chakra. You just make the intention and say, I open chakra one, which is the root at the bottom, going down to the soles of the feet and the ground, and you ground yourself and open number two, open number three. And each time you open another one, go up to the top, to the head. And you feel the energy field around you at each level. And when you do this, going from frequency one, level one to two, three, four, five, six, seven, you're actually lifting your frequency in the process, morning and night, and it takes like 2 minutes, and that resets yourself.
Oh, cool.
So then this is very easy and very powerful.
Awesome.
I can actually put a link for that as
perfect.
Well.
Perfect. Yeah. Let's put a link to that. That'll be really cool.
And then, of course, meditation, breathing meditation, journaling, tapping, EFT, all those things are helpful to regulate your emotional body or mental body.
Absolutely.
And then doing something creative daily, just for fun, nothing to crazy, but doodle, garden, sing, dance, play an instrument, whatever you did as a child.
Let go a little bit.
Joy. Yeah, yeah, you should do that every day for, you know, at least 10, 15 minutes. So all these things are really about lifestyle and energetic hygiene.
Yep.
And that's what it comes to. You have to take care of the car you're in, even if your soul is flying high.
Yes. Maybe even more so when it's,
maybe even more so because you're straddling frequencies.
Exactly. So this has been an enlightening, awesome conversation. We're going to kind of close it up with just one final question, which is you've mentioned actually a lot of tips, but do you have one particular tip about living as a spiritual being in this human existence that you want to either emphasize or share with the listeners?
Yes, I want to say be in the driver's seat of your life. Don't get entangled with collective chaos and drama. That's just going to put you in the wrong track. Be the change you want to see in the world. You know, you came here with superhuman powers. Now use that creativity to make the world a better place for all. It comes to knowing yourself, treating others as you'd like to be treated, and doing good deeds. That's the three basic rules. Be of service to others. Everybody's struggling here right now. Everybody, every soul.
That
so
is
be
true.
Gentle with yourself, be gentle with others. Have compassion, because we are all learning to evolve now through healing, not suffering. So your true superpower at this time exactly is play and joy. We're supposed to have fun with life, not to be serious. So have fun. It's a cosmic joke, really. You come here as a soul trying to do the hardest life you can. And, you know, yes, you're being of service just by being here. So
yeah.
Be grateful for that. Thank you for that.
Awesome. Yeah. And just before we close, we are going to include a bunch of links to the things that Ulla mentioned in the show notes, so people will have those. And you do have a website. Is that the best way for people to get in contact
yes.
with you?
Yes, I have a website called bigpicturequestions.com, and there you will find out the books I have written. There's a blog, there's videos, and I do readings for life plans and relationships to find out about your energetic blueprint and how you interface with other people.
Absolutely.
In your life. So the books are on Amazon, the books are on Smashwords in any ebook format, and
cool.
paperback and Kindle in Amazon. So
awesome.
And YouTube videos as well. So
yep, we'll link to the YouTube
there.
Videos. Yeah. Well, Dr. Yeah. Sarmiento, she's got a ton of really interesting content. I would encourage everybody to, especially if you are interested in what we talked about today, she's got a lot of additional information available as well online.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
I'm
wonderful.
Here to help.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ulla. I really sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me, Rebecca.
And there we have it, folks, the close of our wonderful episode with Dr. Ulla Sarmiento on ADHD and autism and spirituality. If you're enjoying listening to this podcast, tell all your friends about it, share the links, follow us on Instagram at spirituality.what. Check out our website. We're happy to be bringing this content to you. And if you have a chance, head over to Spotify and interact with our questions and polls. See you next time. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.